Blog Talk Radio.
We made nations, we don't pray. We know the only defeat that won. So
Jesus, the Lamb of God, holy my life, wanna look at you. What's the name of it? I should go on it. Oh, when you're so pretty, you're the universe of the heart. Oh, that is so, so you give me this life, give you hope, love. Ever since I gave you my mind, I'm like, I'm so blessed. Focus on the right, but I was hope, yeah. And I can confirm that you make everything better. So I'll be strong and so sure. Yes, you are. I'm gonna get through. From now on to the end, I'm gonna bless you.
Don't let hate overcome your heart. and the cookies cast everywhere they deny. More knowledge, more chat, more life, we do them cry. Let us know one day that I must come. Just stay strong, stay strong.
Oh, now I've a chance to want him. I got to put a roof up on me head from night till morning come. And I'm not gonna break my stride. I'm alive, so chase it away. Every evil thought that wants to come and mess with my mind, I'll chase it away. My future will be great, so I'll never give up on my knees.
Father, thank you. Father, I thank you. Father, I praise you, O God. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad. I thank you, Father, for granting us another day, a day that we have never seen before and a day that we will never, ever see again. We ask you, O God, to bless us to hear, bless us to see, and bless us to speak this morning your word. Lord, part two of this message, then we'll go somewhere else. The Lord say the same. Father, we ask you, O God, to bless the airways, the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord, we ask that this word will go forth and it would, O God, cut into the hearts of those that hear it and even those that speak it this morning. Lord, we ask your forgiveness. We ask your mercy. We come this morning with a heart of repentance, asking you to heal those that are sick in their bodies. Give energy to those, O God, energize those that are tired, O God, that they will have time to study your word, to seek your face, O God. We ask your protection of our family members, of our friends, of our co-workers, our co-laborers in the field, O God. We ask today, God, that you allow us to deliver this message that we can get ready to do whatever is next on the agenda, O God. And Father, we are careful, O God, as you protect our pastors or bishops or evangelists or teachers or ushers or deacons, Lord. We ask you to protect the president, the vice president, the Congress, the senators, Supreme Court Justice Department, the police department, the fire department. Lord, protect all those that in authority, O God. We ask you to protect the husbands and the wives, O God. Lord, the true man and woman of God that you have called to be husband and wife, O God. We ask you, O God, to protect our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that they may grow up, O God, to follow you, Lord God. Draw them by your spirit. Father, we are careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. We are doing a part two of the message we did yesterday, coming out. Today we're going to come out of Philippians chapter 3. And I want to put in a verse in there that was on my heart, very, very deep on my heart. In this verse here, Paul began to say, this verse is such a powerful verse. Paul says, verse 10 of chapter 3, so that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Paul says that he might know him. Paul wanted to know the love of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus. This one that is willing to die for mankind, not was just willing, but he died for mankind. Hallelujah. He gave his life so that we would have life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The fellowship of his suffering. Paul seems to recognize that suffering, especially for the gospel, brings deeper fellowship with Christ. Paul sees his ministry as an extension of Jesus' ministry. And he accounts the suffering as the will of God for his servants. Now, let's go down to let's continue from there. Verse 11. If somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already received this or have already been made perfect, but I press on if indeed I hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have laid hold of it, but I do one thing, forgetting the things behind and straining towards the things ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says he's not even declaring that he's gotten to this place, to that degree. But he says he's one thing he's doing, he's forgetting his past. The life that he used to live, how he used to arrest the Christians and had them put in prison, and even some of them were put to death. Paul says he's forgetting about that. Why is he forgetting? Because God has forgiven him. And a lot of times we are walking as, and we're calling ourselves Christians, but we're still living in our past. We're still living in our past. We're still holding on to the things that God has released us from, separated us from, has forgiven us for. Hallelujah, glory to God. So he says, in the King James Version, he says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And he said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In other words, if he might be resurrected in his walk, his life, that his life might lead him to that place of being resurrected from the dead as Christ did. He says, not as though I had already attained. He said, I'm not gone to that place. I have not gone into that place that I can boast myself, that I can tap on my chest and say, yes, I got it going on. I hear some Christians they tap, oh, I'm going to heaven. I don't care what nobody says. I'm sure I'm going to heaven. But they're not living to go to heaven. Hallelujah. You have to live this. Paul was doing everything that he could possibly do according to God's word that he might attain this gift, this blessed assurance that he would be risen to be with Christ. Paul was doing everything. He said, not as though I had already attained. I were already perfect. Neither am I perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, if I may achieve that for which also I am apprehend of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The calling that's put in life. He said, brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended. I have not arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching or pressing forth onto those things which are before. Hallelujah. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, we have to have this mindset that we are looking towards. This is why I'm saying, will you be who God said you are until the end? We have to make up in our mind. It doesn't matter. A lot of stuff is going on. People are doing this. People are doing that. But I'm standing on this path. I'm not moving. I'm still going to get here when I know I should be here. I'm going to be here because I told God, I said to God, yes, if you give me this ministry, I would honor it. I would honor it, God. I would honor it, and I would do what you say to do. Doesn't matter what nobody say. If nobody come, I'm going to be here. Glory to God. If nobody go, I'm going to go. When he asks, who will go? Who will go? Who can I send? Isaiah says, send me. I'll go. Send me. Everybody wants to be in the public, but nobody wants to go. People only want to go when they feel it going. They find an excuse not to go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, listen to me, he said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Listen, let's go back in here. He pauses. He presses. He said, now verse
Verse 15 says, therefore, as many as are perfect, let us hold this opinion. And if you think anything differently, God will reveal this also to you. Look, Paul, let them say, if anything is that you're thinking that you ought to be doing, God will reveal it to you. You don't have to get so worried and flustered. Paul says God will reveal it to you. Proverbs 3 is trying to work ahead of God. The Greek perfect, the Greek adjective used here, teleos, is related to the verb in verse 12. In this case, Paul probably is calling on mature believers to adopt the mindset he has just described. We must have a mindset to live and serve God by serving his people. Understand this. The fellow imitators of me, he called them to be imitate the lifestyle that he's living. Listen what he says. Who's imitates, verse 19. Who, he says, let's go back to verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Now, pause to know, listen. If you're going to go somewhere else, if you're going to follow somebody else, make sure that they're walking like we are walking. We are your example of how to walk in the lifestyle that honors God. You want to have people or mentors. You want to have mentors that you truly can follow, that you can see, well, they're an example of what holiness is about, what godliness is about, what we're respecting each other and caring and loving on each other is about. See, because it got to start there. We say we love God, but we don't love our brothers and sisters. It has to be horizontal before it goes vertical. We want to reach up to heaven, but we're not doing nothing here on earth. Let me say it again. We want to reach up to heaven, but we're not doing anything here on earth. We're not helping the poor. We're not helping the widows. We're not helping the fatherless. You're not praying for your brothers and sisters that are in trouble. They're sick in their bodies. They're sick in their minds. Their finances is in shambles, and you're not helping them. But you want to say, oh, how much I love God. Oh, how much I care for God. You're not doing anything for the people, for God's children. We serve God by serving God's people. So the main objective is we want to talk to God. We want to pray to God, but you don't want to pray for your fellow believers. You don't even want to pray for the unsaved, but you say, oh, I love God. Paul said, if you're going to follow anybody else, make sure that they have the same characteristics as he does, as the apostles do. He said, we are your example. If you're going to have another pastor, if you're going to have another bishop, if you're going to have another evangelist, you know, so we jump from place to place. He says, make sure that when you look, that they have the same characteristics that we have. This is what he says in chapter 3 of Philippians. He says, now, let's read this again, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Paul doesn't want to see the church hurt. He is weeping just like Jeremiah weeped for the church. He said, whose mind earthly things? See, they have a mindset of materialistic things. Somebody's phone is making a lot of noise. They have an earthly mindset. Their mind is not on the kingdom. Their mind is not on heaven. So Paul says, he said, now you got to watch out for this. This is what he's saying. He said, whose end is destruction? Listen, let's go back there again and look at that again. Verse 18. He said, for many walk of whom I have told you often. So Paul must be rehearsed this, being saying this over and over. And then verse 16, he said, in verse 16 of chapter 3, he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. In other words, let's follow the same assignment, the same command that God has given to us. Let us be on the same page. Let us mind the same thing. He said, brethren, be followers together of me. In other words, follow me as I follow Christ. And mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Follow, if you go follow others, make sure that they walk in the way that we've been walking. We are your example. He says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. See, they're preaching, they're teaching, they're prophesying or prophesying, but they are the enemy of the cross because they're not living what they're preaching. So Paul says, make sure you pay attention. Make sure you observe what's going on, because we are your example. This is what Paul is saying. We are your example. Hallelujah. Page 1 is jump all over the place. Look at that. Verse 20 says, these were the verses I put up on the computer. For our conversation is in heaven. See, Paul's mindset is focused on heaven. Our mindset should be focused on heaven, doing what pleases heaven. He said, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, remember I gave you the first verse I gave you, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. 3 and 10, remember, I read that verse. Paul's mindset is changing. It's constantly changing. Why? Because he's moving from faith to faith and from glory to glory. The more that we study the Word of God, the more that we are enhanced by the Spirit of God, we tend to develop the characteristics of who he is. We no longer want to do the things that was pleasing to our flesh, but we want to do the things that pleases our spirit man and God himself. This, I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it makes sense to me. He said, who shall change our vile body? Now, let's read back verse 12 and 20 again, see how we get here. Paul says, for our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation is heaven. We have a hope. We are looking for this day of the Lord, this day of redemption. Who shall change our vile body, because this body can't go back with us, but he's going to give us a heavenly body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. If we live the life to live again, we should look just like him when we get our heavenly body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things, oh my God, unto himself. Isn't that something? Who will transform or humble our bodies to be conformed to his glorious body in accordance with the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself? Hallelujah. The more that we study the Word of God, the more God is constantly causing our body to become subject to his word, to his power, to his authority. Colossians chapter 1. Let's look here. And let's start at verse 9. You can start this here from verses 3 if you want to, but let's start at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, Paul now hear that the church of Colossians is going through. All the churches had problems. They still have problems. But Paul is interceding for the church. There's no one, too many people today who pray for the church. Most people are praying for prosperity. They're praying to get stuff. They say, well, let me just, I think I, I ought to pray for my pastor. I ought to pray for my apostle. I ought to pray for my, I need to pray for my deacon. I need to pray for my usher. I need to pray for my evangelist. My teacher, my prophet, my prophetess. We don't think about that. Most people don't think about that. Oh, Lord, I've been on this job. I've been on this job so long, God, and I haven't got a raise yet. Lord, I want to be a supervisor. I want to become the manager. You already got a good manager, but you want to be the manager. You want to take that man position, that woman position. Pray for the people that God put that is watching over your soul, praying for you when you're not praying for yourself. You eat that fried chicken, you eat that barbecue spare rib and all that stuff, and you're happy, you're laid on, go to sleep. And people are up praying for you, interceding. Ask God to give them more wisdom. He says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, this is a powerful prayer right here. This is not praying for money. When Solomon had a chance to ask for money, he didn't ask for no money. He asked for wisdom and understanding. He asked God to give him the wisdom that he might judge the people rightfully. He might rule them the way God wants him to rule. Oh, I know most of us, I probably would too. God, I know you own all the gold. I know you got all the diamonds and all the silver, Lord. I want a diamond bigger than any Hollywood movie star has, any of these entertainers. I want some gold. Lord, I want a gold necklace that my God has put me down to the ground. Ask my God all that stuff. Lord, what about my gold slippers? Lord, I want a crown right now. They'll be saying all that stuff. But Paul's praying for the people. He said, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We're talking about, this is the final part of this today. Will you be who God said you are until the end? That means, will you continue in the faith, in the walk, in your calling, even until he call you off your deathbed? When you are laying on that bed waiting to leave here, knowing the doctor says that you're not going to make it out, will you still be who God said you are? Or along the way you change because the world is showing us all of this good stuff, all this computerized stuff, all this new technology, and you can have this and have that, and now they got you to a place now that you don't even have to, you're not worried about them because you can already go ahead and purchase another body. The scientists are doing this stuff now. You can purchase another body, and they can put all your information in this body, who knows, and then you will be the person, once this old body dies, they say you'll never die. They say you'll have a new body, a new nanotype. They call it nanotech body. I said, the devil is something else. Hallelujah. They even got the stuff on show. People are going to this, they call them a conference to see all of this stuff and showcase. You have the bodies in these showcases and look just look human-like, flesh and everything. I mean, this thing is something else. Look up to all this different stuff. But look what God, what Paul says. He says, verse 11 says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-sufferance with joyfulness. See, when you're walking upright, when you're living according to God's word, my God, you're going to be joyful. You're going to have peace. Even though you have some persecution, you're going to still have peace. We talked about that the other day. You're still going to have peace in times of persecution and tribulation and trials. You're still going to have peace. I remember locked up for 66 days in immigration jail or prison, however you want to call it. And they was trying their utmost best to deport me out of this country. But I had peace. All the other guys, most of the guys, they didn't have no girls. They was mainly men. They probably had another section, part of the prison that were for women. I don't know because I haven't been over there. But I was always be joyful, and they would wonder, how can you be? Other guys would ask me. I had some deacons in there from, and they would say, well, it's a pastor. How can you be sure at so much peace and you're not worried? You don't know where the money going to come from to even get a lawyer to protest the deportation. And I tell him, said, I'm here on assignment. Because I seen that picture with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, somebody at Chevy Chase. And they were saying that they were on an assignment, Ghostbusters. They said it was on an assignment for the Lord. So I had that in my spirit. For some reason, it just came up. I just told the guy, man, I'm here on assignment for the Lord. I thought about Paul and Silas and Peter and John in the prison. It didn't matter. See, we in there, but we are still working while we're in there. And sure enough, spent 66 days, and God saved 68 people. God ordained some people to send them back to British Honduras to be minister of the gospel. So you even in going through your tribulation, you're still praising Him. You're still joyful because you know what the outcome. The outcome is greater than the income. Hallelujah! You know that. You know what the outcome is going to be. So listen to what He says. Oh my God! He said, Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or made us fit or made us ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Glory to God. That's the one that I have put my name there. See, when we walk in this walk, when we live in, not just talking, not just even walking, but we live in it out. Our lifestyle is a ministry. Our lifestyle is worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we are living this thing because if for some reason we are driving down the highway and He called us off the highway, we'll make it in. Even unto the end, will you be who God said you are until the end? Listen to what He said. This is so beautiful. He says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, Jesus, thank you, Lord. You have delivered David. David, I put it there. Let me put it there, Lord Jesus. I had that verse highlighted, but let me put my name there, because it needs to be there. I will say it this way. Who have delivered David from the power of darkness and have translated David into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom David have redemption through the blood of Jesus, even the forgiveness of sins. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, this is why we can walk this whole, why we can live this even unto the end, because we know that we have delivered. We know that we are saved. We know that we have been forgiven. And even when we come up short and we go back to Him and we call out to Him and we cry out in repentance, He forgives us again. He's a true daddy. He never gives up on us. So Peter said, how much time should I forgive my brother if my brother sinned against me? Seven times in a day? No, not seven times, Peter, but 70 times seven. Which I allocated to 490 times a day, but God, He wouldn't say forgive him 490. He was saying that as many times as your brother or sister sin against you, you ought to be ready and willing to forgive them. He said, now that you did it one time, you did it two times, three times, it's over. I'm not going to let you. You can't do that again. No. But you say you're saved, sanctified. And all the times that we make mistakes, we want God. We say, well, if I go to God, God going to forgive me. If I go to Him, I know, because He's a fearful God. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. But your brother that comes to you asking forgiveness, you can't forgive him. You gotta put your face, no, I ain't going to deal with her. I ain't going to deal with him no more. No. I ain't going to deal with him, but I'm going to heaven. Listen to what he said. I got to get to where I want to be. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him we all were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Let me tell you something. A lot of people don't believe, but the devil was created for him. and even some of the works that the devil has, give God glory. It causes people to force people back to their knees. When you see stuff that the devil is doing, some people run. You know, remember when the planes, I was in Virginia then, and the planes started to hit the tower buildings and hit the Pentagon and drop them somewhere in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. People running, man, running. They thought it was the end of the world. And the Sunday after that, man, everybody was in the church. Our church didn't have no room. It was only standing. You hear standing room? No, we go to the club, and they say, well, there's no place. Oh, there's no more tables, no more seats, only standing room. Well, they had only standing room only in the church. Day after, everybody. Next week, everybody, you can get a place anywhere. People say, well, we're back to normal. That was just a glitch. Ain't nobody dying. Ain't nothing happening. We can go back to our same stuff, acting a fool. And that's what it is. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Glory to God. Let the Bible speak to us. Philippians chapter 2. Let it speak to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, Paul is saying, look, we ought to become more concerned about others, helping others than ourselves. This is what he's saying. He's not talking about being critical, but he's talking about being ready. If you go back up to verse 2 and come down, fulfill you my joy, that you'll be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. And let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness or humility of mind, humbleness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. See, this is a hard thing to do. This is when you know when you can still exceed somebody else more than yourself, that you really are walking according to God's law. Because if they don't say, I know there was time when I was young and in church, and the pastor said, comes out and said, well, you know, Brother John has been good in the church, and Brother John, every time I asked him to do something, he would always be there. And you know you're cleaning the toilet, you're picking up the trash, you're doing all that stuff, and the pastor will never call my name. And I was squirming in the seat. But why you don't never call my name? Why you don't never give me a little pat on the back? But I realized after walking a little bit that it wasn't about the pastor giving me a pat on my back. It was that God is seeing what I'm doing, what we are doing. A lot of times, if they don't call your name out or name out, we get offended. We get offended. But I'm not working for that pastor. I'm working for the Lord. But it took me some time to get that inside of my spirit. Because I used to get upset. I mean, I was a young Christian. And I was, full of fire. You could say, well, who gonna vacuum this? The sanctuary. Who going to clean the sanctuary? Oh, Pastor, I got it. Who going to pick up the trash? I got it. You know, I was ready. Who's going to give this person a ride home? Pastor, I'll do it. I was ready to do it. But if I didn't hear my name called out, didn't mention all the stuff that I was doing in the house, I becomes cold. My spirit man become cold because I wasn't so much doing it for the kingdom. I was doing it for me. So I could get accolades, so the pastor can call my name out. Here, Jesus, Paul said we got to do this thing with humbleness of heart, and we got to esteem each other more than ourselves. Hallelujah! This is what he says. He says, look not every man on his own things, but let every man also on the things of others. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, if we are going to get in, we got to do everything as unto Christ. Look here what he says. Paul says, this is what's so powerful right here in this verse. He says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, every time Jesus did something on earth, if you go back and study Jesus' teaching, he never exalted himself. He was God in the flesh. But out from heaven, from the throne room, he always pointed back to the throne room. He always pointed back to the Father. Something for us to take notice of. You never hear him talking about himself. Every time he talk about the Father, the Father, the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. The Father's in me and I in the Father. Everything is to the Father. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen what Paul speaks here very clearly to us. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We got to see that we are not who we are because of what we did. The degree that we got from the school of theology, we're not who we are because we have seven plaques on the wall. We are who we are because of what he has done at Calvary. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm coming up the King James Bible. There's much on this in the Logos, but we go on the King James Bible and let the Spirit speak to us. Chapter 3, the first 7 verses. King James Version. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, ready, always ready to teach, always ready to encourage people, always ready to help people. Then he says, not given to wine, though, you got to stop drinking. You have a lot of these so-called preachers that they're still slipping and dipping. I was at a church in Virginia, and these ushers was they had the white gloves on, they put on all that stuff, and they got that one hand behind the back and one hand in the front, and they're doing all, they got all these funny stuff, things that they put on. And man, we get a break or something. Man, they're out behind the building, going behind the building, they got these little flasks, and they put in the pocket. And I got outside because I was hot in there. I went outside, just went outside. And I caught them. They tried to put the flask back. I said, don't worry about me. they were trying to hide the flask from me. I said, don't worry about me. I ain't got a heaven or hell to put you in. They was, they get startled. They were startled. But they forgot that God is sitting high and looking low. And that's just a minor thing. But how when we are fornicating and committing adultery, how when we are stealing, lying, and cheating, but sin is sin. But you might say that's much bigger or worse. But it's still sin. And we think God can't see and can't hear. Paul says, for he has made him to be sin for us. In other words, he took on our sin. It became a cloak on him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, being right standing with God. those of us or whoever out there in computer land that receive him as Lord and Savior. And here, back to Timothy, that was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He said, look, now he says, not given to wine, nor striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. See, he's not a drunkard. He don't like to get in fights. Hallelujah. He stay away from fights. He's not greedy of lucre. You know, these folk today, they're selling their soul. That's what they call it. But they're giving their life, even in the pulpit, from the church building, to serve Satan. That's why they don't call up for Jesus. They don't talk about the blood. They don't talk about the cross. Why? Because they're serving Satan right from the house of God. I like to call it the house of man. From the house of man. Because they say, this is my church. This is my ministry. So they do whatever they can do, what they want to do, when they already choose for lucre, money, stuff, the Rolex watch, the diamond rings, the bishop ring, the apostle ring, expensive rings with the stones in them. They have no patience. They don't have patience with people. They get bent out of shape easily. My pastor told me, because I was like that, I would get bent out very easy. And my pastor told me years ago, said, stay. He said, stay flexible. She said, stay flexible. If you remain flexible, you'll not get bent out of shape easily. I said, okay. Didn't understand it. But as I grew, I understand that I had to govern my spirit. I couldn't do it. I needed God to govern, help me to govern my spirit, that when people say stuff, I don't become a brawler, want to fight. And then I get to the place, I covet no man. I don't care what nobody have. I don't care how big your swimming pool is, how many car garages you have. You can have 10 car garages, 18-bedroom house, 6 baths. I don't care. 10 jacuzzi. Don't bother me none. I'm not covetous of no one. He said, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. See, this is a bishop. You have to have control over your own house. And this not only for bishop, this for any servant of God. Any servant. He put this in here for the bishop then. But for any servant, if you can't rule your own house, you can't rule God's house. If your house is always in an uproar, and then when you come on Sunday morning, you want to control people, want to tell people how to live, they're not going to receive from you because they're going to pick up on that spirit. Because, see, what's in the house going to come eventually come out. It's going to get out the house, and people say, well, you know, every time you look around, that apostle man, he's over there fighting with his wife, fighting with his children. Man, you pass on the street, you can hear them shouting and like a brawl going on, say like WNBA. I mean, one of those things going to people running all over the place, you know, basketball thrown everywhere, and we call it the wrestling stuff. They're going every which way, and they want to come and tell us how to live our life. Take care of your own house first, and the people will tell you too. Some of the people, Lord, and let them get faced in to come and tell us, take care of your own house. He says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? It's right here in the word. Verse 5. He's not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. See, he knows the word. The bishop studies the word. You see, we got a bishop here. His eyes were playing games with him sometimes. But he said the prayer of salvation, introducing people to Christ without looking in the Bible. Most of the stuff he's saying, he memorized. Sometimes he makes some slips, and that's all right, because he's trying to get it locked into his heart, into his soul, so he can speak it verbatim, right out of his mind, out of his heart. So he says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, the people who are outside the body of Christ. See, we're not only teaching and preaching for those that are part of Blog Talk Radio, part of the church, but we are preaching, when we preach is when the best preached word sermon that we preach is when we leave the line, when we leave the church building and we go outside. Those that are without, outside of the church arena, they see and hear the message. All lifestyle speaks for itself. Most preachers, though, I know this guy here now, he's, what's his name? Can't remember his name, though. Oh, Lord, he's a crying pastor. He likes to cry a lot. Got a big ministry. I think he's in Texas or California, somewhere there. But you know what I mean. He got caught with some woman. And there's a whole lot of stuff went on. And then he had to go back before the church, begging the church to forgive him. He repent. I can't remember his name, though. He translated the Bible and wrote a lot of books and make a lot of music. I can't remember his name, though. Anyway, he'll come to me another day. But we have to have a good report. If we're going to be who he said that we are unto the end, we have to have a good report. We can't have a good report today and not tomorrow, not next week. You got to have a good report. Our focus is heaven. Our focus is heaven. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Our focus is heaven. And in order to make it there, we have to live this. We have to live it out. We have to be who God says we are. Down to the end. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean that we are going to be perfect. I want you all to know this. We're not going to be perfect, but he's perfecting us. He's perfecting us. Hallelujah. Paul said that we're in right standing with God through Jesus Christ. But that don't mean we are perfect. We're in right standing through the blood that covers us. But we got to walk out with the blood. The blood has to be on us all the time. And we got to know that we're covered in blood. See, you could be like a person who was an alcoholic, and all of a sudden they get a new shot-skin suit. You know, them suits that shine real nice. I got one, but it can't fit me. I must reward that suit one time. I'm going to give it away, though. Gotta give it away. But you got this new shark-skin suit or alligator shoes on. You just got them, crocodile shoes, whatever it is. Something that you never had before. But your lifestyle was a alcoholic, a drunkard, a dope addict. And you know when you get drunk, you fall in the street, you find yourself falling over the trash can and the gutter and all kind of stuff. But now you come and you become a preacher. But you haven't really given up that desire to drink alcohol. And you go out to the club and you're drinking too much. You feel good, you're dressed up in this nice decked out. And all of a sudden, what you do? You're falling down in the street. Husband say, girl, why you see how you're acting? Wife saying, why are you acting the way like that? Because you forgot who you are. You forgot who you are. We can't forget who we are. We have to live this thing out. In the house, outside the house, we got to be the same. Got to be the same. I'm not saying, I keep saying this, I'm not saying that we are perfect, but we have to live this thing out. Live it out so that we can be who he said we are unto the end. He says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15, he says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Hear what the apostle saying. This is so awesome. He said, you are to sanctify the Lord in your heart. You have to separate your heart for the Lord. All the other stuff that's trying to infiltrate your heart, you've got to cast it down. Hallelujah. I'm different now. I'm not the same person I used to be. Sometimes my flesh wants to show up, and I got to tell it, shut up. Move away. Hallelujah. Enemy still tried to use the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life on me. Truthfully, he still tried to. And I have to let him know it don't work anymore. I just said, you got to try something else because it don't work anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to sanctify him. And we have to sanctify him in our hearts. And be ready. This is why we study the word of God every single day. Every day, every day, every day. We study the word of God. Why? Because we got to give an answer to the hope, that hope that's in us. How about redemption? How about the coming of the Lord? What is this to wait? Well, you know you're going to get a crown. You're going to get a robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. A ring of sonship or daughtership. You got hope. Hallelujah. And John said, don't let no one cause you to lose your crown. That's why we got to stay focused. Focus. John chapter 14, verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, listen to Jesus, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Jesus always pointed to the Father. We are pointing to ourselves, and we point to our leaders. We exalt our leaders more than we exalt the Father. Let's go to verse 9. Jesus said unto him, I have been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? These words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe in me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or as believe me for the very work's sake. Jesus is so anointed, so sovereign. When he speaks, everything goes silence. He takes authority over the atmosphere, the elements, when he speaks. Remember in the boat when there was forcing the storm and this thought that they were going to capsize? And Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. And the disciples go and wake him up and say, Rabbi, Rabbi, Master, Master, don't you concern that we are perishing? You can imagine that the water is splashing on Jesus, but the water doesn't disturb him. He's asleep. They come and wake him up. And he gets up and spoke to the wind and the water. And silence took place. The disciples respond with, what kind of man is this? They're with the Savior and don't recognize his authority. This is why he rebuked them yesterday in the message. Of called him perverse, faithless, perverse generation. He said, how long must I suffer you? How long must I continue to teach and instruct you? And yet, see, you're not getting it. He rebuked them. The man brought his son to the disciples. He just come down from the mountain. And the man come with his son, who's lunatic, epileptic, and will fall into the far water. The demons will cause him to fall into the water and fall into the fire and all this stuff. And he said, Jesus, look, I brought my son to your disciples. They could do nothing for him. And Jesus rebuked them. He rebuked them. And Jesus spoke to the demon. And the demon came out. Leave the boy. See, he said, this kind only. Then they're going to ask Jesus later in the evening, when he was away from the crowd, how come we couldn't get this demon out? How come we can do this work? Jesus said, this kind only come up with fasting and praying. You got to get your soul right. Your soul has to be sanctified. Like we said here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15. The heart must be sanctified unto God so God can use your heart. He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very word's sake. He said, surely, surely I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He's saying, look, I'm imparting the very anointing that's on my life, in my life, is imparted in you. You just got to believe. That's if we speak the word. And then as soon as we speak the word, we allow doubt to come in. And we start wondering, am I really going to get healed? Is this healing really going to take place? I know I spoke it over my body. Is it really going to take place? Because why the devil is bringing confusion? Say, well, you sound good. You sound real well speaking that out of your mouth. But do you really believe that going to happen? Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Do you really believe it's going to happen? The devil comes right away. Right away. Right away. He ain't playing no games. Because we say it, but we don't believe it. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. He said, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. See, the heart has to be cleaned out. You remember David say that? Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit. The heart has to be cleaned out by man. We have to go in there and clean out the heart. We go to God and say, Lord, do this thing for us. But we have to submit to God so God can do what only he can do. God wants to clean our hearts. But we got a PhD now. We have a PhD. We got a doctorate degree. We ain't hardly going to God. We say, well, I study all night, two nights, three nights, four nights in a row, and I'll be all right. They taught me at school how to exegete the word. They told me how to parallelize the scriptures. So I know how to do all this. I don't have to ask God. That's what the folk are saying. But I tell you, when you ask God, say, Lord, I'm studying this word, and I need you to make it plain for me, Lord. Here's what happened. The word began to jump off the page for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. He said, give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. See? We have to try our utmost best not to hurt people. We say, hurt people, and they do. And a lot of times we speak what we are going through. If we are dealing with situations that we can't handle in the natural, we ought to shut our mouth. We ought not say anything and just talk to God about it. God, how should I respond to Sister So-and-so, Brother So-and-so, Lord? How long do I have to wait before I can talk to her, Lord? Because right now, Lord, I am on fire, what she said to me, what she said about me, and I just want to tell her. Some people said, I want to give him a piece of my mind. The Lord will tell you. The Lord will tell us. Why? Because we want to be who he said we are unto the end. I don't want to do something that's going to hurt my brother or my sister. Why? Because it could drive them away from the presence of the Lord. A lot of people don't even want to go to the building anymore. They don't even want to deal with some pastor because I got some friends here that we prayed, they called and I prayed with them. They're supposed to be in Trinidad. They may be back now. And they said to me, said, Pastor, I haven't been to church in years. I'm going to church. He said, I was hurt by the pastor. Talk about my wife and about me. Over the microphone. He said, I don't have no desire to go back in the church. He said, we sold a lot of money in that ministry. And I know because the job that he does. He says, but I don't have no desire. He says, let's go to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7. We're coming down the road now. He says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs to be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. The one who caused the offense. We have to be mindful of how we speak to people, everybody, and I got to learn this too. I had to learn this. Let's go to verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hang about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. See, we don't want to offend the babes of Christ. Anybody for that matter. Because when we offend them in word, the word cuts like a two-edged sword. You know, you might slap a person and they forget that you slap them. But if you say some nasty word about them or to them, and they might say, I forgive you, John. I forgive you, Peter. Raphael, I forgive you. But I tell the truth. They remember that the rest of their life. They remember it. And as soon as said, I remember you do that last week. I remember you did last week. Here you come again with the same thing. Let me give you go to Acts chapter 17. Let's get this thing done. People, remember the words that you speak in their lives. Even when you speak a prophetic word over somebody's life, and you might think that they don't receive it, that word stays with them. Lady yesterday sent me a word on YouTube. She said, I thank you for the sermon. It blessed me. She said, just the topic alone bless her, just to hear the topic. She said, yes, I will. Yes, I will. I'll be who God said I am until the end. Acts chapter 17, verses 21. This is not a jumping message. For all the Athenians and strangers which were, they spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Yes, Acts 17:21. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." This is when people don't really believe. They hear you, but they have doubts. He says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscriptions to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands," Paul declared, "neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything. Seeing he giveth all life, he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." People are worshiping a lot of different entities. And some of the people are proclaiming that they know God. They're proclaiming that they are servants of God. They have Marys. They have Buddhas. They have Confucius. All of these different gods they have in their homes, statues. But they're still proclaiming that they are saved. Paul says, Romans chapter 1, verse 14, he says, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." See, we learn from everybody. We learn something. We don't have it all together. Deacon Fraser dropped a nugget in my spirit, and it took me up a little higher. God wanted me to hear something. He didn't take me to another place. I learn from everybody that I hear. I don't profess to know this thing because the Holy Spirit is teaching me. Acts 23, verse 6 and 8. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in questions." And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the multitude were divided. For the Sadducees said that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confessed both. Paul became a part of all that was there. He let them know that he was part of all. Now divisions comes up. We have to be willing to give an answer to everyone that asks of the hope that's in us. Acts chapter 16. We're moving through the scriptures. I think there's one more scripture, two more scriptures out of this. Acts 16. Just trying to get these up with ideas. 16. And Acts 16, verse 37. "But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us in prison. And now they do trust us out privately. Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates. And they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. Verse 37 to 39. See, when they locked up Paul and Silas and put them in prison for preaching the gospel, preaching about Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, they put them in prison. But then when they could find nothing to really prosecute them for, they want to let them out in privately where nobody see or hear. But Paul said, no, not so. You lock us up openly. Now come and let us out openly so everybody will know. Paul is standing up for the gospel. Acts 22:25-29. And then I think there's one proverb, I think. Hallelujah. Acts 22:25. As they bound him with tongues, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Ask them a question. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Verse 27. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yeah. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum abstain I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was free born. Paul said that I was free born, because Paul is now reborn. He's not no longer Saul. Jesus has changed his life. You put me in prison, but you have not locked me up. Hallelujah. I'm bound in the natural, but in the spirit realm, I'm free. That while I was telling them I was locked up for immigration. Oh, you got me here, but I'm here free to work for God. I'm here free to work for God. People get scared when they tell you, well, you can't say Jesus. If you say Jesus, you're going to jail. You're afraid of going to jail. They're only putting your body. They can't do nothing with your spirit, man. That's why Jesus said you can, don't fear a man that can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill both body and soul. Hallelujah. So that way, he said, then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman. And because he had bound him, listen, on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty, wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. No. What's it? Because Paul recognized who he is. Once you get to know who you are, God allow you to speak with authority. He allow you to speak with power. This is why we're not giving in or giving up, because people are saying stuff. We are not giving in or giving up. We know who we are and whose we are. You know that? Stand for it. The last scripture, the Lord knows this is the last scripture. Proverbs 13. A wicked, verse 17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is helpful. Let me read it again. A wicked, and this is out the King James Version. I didn't even go to the Logos Altar Amplified. This is plain. Yes, it is. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador, I might put this in my other sermon too. I like this one. Is health. Glory to God. And you find a lot of preachers today are falling into junk. You know why they're falling? Because they're wicked. They're wicked. I hear one preacher was saying, was talking against. He's talking about prosperity. And then he said that the Lord has convicted him not to preach for prosperity. And he's not going to do it anymore. Then he goes right back to it because it's in his spirit. Like the scripture says, they have that desire for lucre. They want the money. They want the stuff, the things. But they don't want Christ. Because the principle of Christ the principle of Christ requires us to live and be a certain way. He said, I'm going to take care of you, son, daughter. I'm going to take care of you. Just trust me. I am going to meet all of your needs. Trust me. He's saying this to us. But find what happened? We said, no, I can't wait on God to take care of my stuff. I can't wait on him to do this. I can't wait. I got to go on and I got to try some stuff. This is what they're doing. And God said he's going to take care of you. He's going to bless you. Hallelujah. You can imagine that God, he is so awesome. Man, I remember when I was working, I could never pay off a vehicle. I had a full-time job making good money. Thousands upon thousands of dollars, but I was blasting the money away. And I could not pay off a vehicle. Always had problems with vehicles. And God can take me with an expensive vehicle and pay it off. Pay it off for not having a job, a full-time job. Don't tell me he wouldn't take care of you. I'm a witness. God will take care of you. God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. We just got to trust him. Problem is we don't have no patience. We have patience with everything else in the world except God. We have patience for husband, patience for wife, patience for children, patience for the bank, we're patient for the mortgage department. We have patience for everything in the world except God. If God don't do it like yesterday, because when we come to him, we operate like God is a microwave. We want it right now, God. I want it right now. God said, I'm going to do it for you. But God, we're like telling God, I've been waiting all along, Lord. It don't seem like nothing's happening. You know, and if it don't happen like then, we go do something else. We go slip and dip, so we want to have it done. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word today. Lord, we just bless you. Lord, we bless you for blessing us. Lord, giving us ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouth to speak, God. Our feet to walk, our hands to touch, Lord. Lord, we bless you for giving us the breath in our lungs, O God, that we can breathe. Some people are not breathing today. They have crossed over early this morning. Even a couple of seconds ago, somebody crossed. Many thousands of people crossed over. But we are still here in the land of the living. Father, we praise you and we glorify you for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. We ask you to bless the four corners of the earth today. Bless the north, the south, the east, and the west, Lord. But God, we pray for our nation, Lord God. We ask you, O God, to send revival, supernatural move of God. Hallelujah. That's what we're looking for. Send revival over this land in every area, every crevice, every crack, Lord God. Let the rocks rejoice, Lord God. Let the oceans sing. Let the clouds sing. Let the, oh God, the stars, oh God, shine brighter with joy. Let the moon and the sun, oh God, begin to clap hands, oh God, at the revival. Father, we ask you today, in the name of Jesus, that you begin to arrest pastors, arrest apostles and bishops and evangelists and teachers, oh God, prophets and prophetess, Lord God, arrest them that are not teaching the truth, that are compromising your word. Arrest them, oh God, and Lord God, as you did for Zechariah, Lord, cause them not to speak for a while, oh God, till they get an understanding that it's you that's bringing judgment on their mouth. And not allowing them to speak until they speak the truth. And then speak to their heart, oh God. Let them know that it's you, God, that bringing correction, oh God. So that your word can go forth, oh God, with power and authority. And that men, boys and girls, oh God, can be saved. God, bring a change in our school system, oh God. God, they got a new book out now. Somebody, some devilish person, Lord, you know who they are, that they just make that book and put it out, and it's already in this, some of the schools in Connecticut. There's probably some I'm here in Massachusetts already, and it's all about pornography and the rawness the man was talking about. He said, I can't even show it in the church. He had the book in the church. He said, I just bring it so you all can see the title. He said, but this is what they're doing to our children and grandchildren in the schools right now. And it says to have this book is called Perfectly Normal. That's the title of the book, Perfectly Normal. And this book is drawn in cartoons. It's done up in cartoon form. But it's showing you men into men and women into women and all types of oral sex. And all that he was talking about it. And he says it is so bad. But God, I ask you to cause the people to begin to protest against the book in the schools, oh God, and against the transgenders and the drag queens going into our schools and messing our kids' minds up that they don't know which word is up. And Father, I ask you to bring back prayer in the school. You can do it, Lord. Touch the president, touch the vice president, touch the Congress, touch the senators, touch the Supreme Court justice. Bring back prayer in the school so that our children have a foundation. Oh, God, take away the book, the phones. Let them have to leave the phone in the lockers, oh, God, that they can't take the phones in the school and classroom, oh, God, that they focus on learning and getting understanding so they can become productive members of society. Lord, we're praying today, oh, God, for, oh, God, restoration. Oh, God, and we're praying for revival in our churches, in our land, in our nation, oh, God, in our homes, in our families, Lord. We ask you, God, to do for us, oh, God, what no one else can do, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this word. We bless you. We praise you, oh, God, for coming in and touching us today. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Bishop, if you're there. Come on, do the prayer of salvation, and we'll open the line and see what's next.
Handing me your phone.
Oh, okay.
Let me turn my phone there.
Okay. Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, God be all the honor, glory, and praise. Most Heavenly Father, I pray in your name, Jesus, that someone accept you today as the Savior. If you have any brothers and sisters who were prodigal sons and daughters, that we pray for God, that they've turned around and rededicated their life unto you. They know that this is the only way to get to paradise is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who have never received him as his Lord Savior, let me please inform you the only way to heaven is to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that is found in the book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. And if you don't have a Bible, please write the scripture numbers down. Okay, this gives you, just tells you very, very simply what God expects us to do. And the Word of God says in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, there's no other name mentioned under heaven by which mankind must be saved other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Now, it says in the book of Romans, where the confession is made, it says the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 through verse 10. And it also says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth which means you must speak it out. You must speak it out. Don't think about, oh yes, Lord, I'm asking you to receive me as my Savior. Okay, God can hear you. God can, he knows, he can read your mind. But the devil does not. He can inject thoughts, but he cannot read your mind. So you must speak it out loud. Put it in the atmosphere. So you can put positive things in the atmosphere, or you can put negative things. So positively, I'm asking you to positively say it out loud. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I'm falling short of your glory. But please accept me into the kingdom. Write me in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do not blot my name out. God, I want to be saved. And the only way is through you, Lord Jesus Christ. For you are the way, truth, and the life. I know you're standing at the door knocking. And I can open this door unto you, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray that you've accepted me. Now, if you believe that Jesus Christ went through all his sufferings, the scourging at the pillow, the crown of thorns on his head, the spears thrust into his side, where blood and water ran out. Hallelujah. If you believe all these things and that God has used Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice, and thank you, Jesus, for stepping down off your throne to become man, so you could be the ultimate sacrifice to go to heaven. If you just close your eyes and thought about it and said it out loud, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your hands. Hallelujah. And if you believe these truths and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, if you've made that confession, and you truly believe what's written in the book, you are now saved. You've gone all through life without receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you're being born again today. Please do it for yourself. Do it that you, when you cross over and you go to the other side to the grave, that your family knows that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. God bless you and yours. For the scripture says that Lawrence Davis Jr. has accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. James Washington Jr. has accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. We are now saved. And if you confess the things that I said that are written in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 through 41. If you believe everything that's said in that scripture, you've made confession that you believe that Christ died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead on the third day. He rose from the dead. Resurrection Sunday. If you believe this, you're now saved. And if you happen to cross over, don't be regretful because you crossed over. So I'd be very happy. Your family should be happy, especially if, it's an outward sign that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you really mean it. Hallelujah. Glory to the Holy Name. Now, thank you, Lord. And Peter said unto them, repent. If you made this confession, you have to repent, which means do not go back to the evil way that you were living, saying whatever you were doing. Don't go back to that life. Now, if you're an excess drinker, if you were using drugs, if you can coerce people to use drugs, you're a sinner. But you don't go back to that. You don't go back to doing those things, those evil things. You shall be saved. If you made that confession, you are saved. Now, that's in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 41. Now, read it for yourself. Pastor, God bless each and every one. And thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity to invite people to accept Christ as their Savior. I pray in the name of Jesus that they do so. It's the only way, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Pastor, it's back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop, and so good to hear you. And thanks for the prayer of salvation. We pray that many will come to know him as Lord and Savior today. And every day that we do, we get to do the prayer of salvation because it's drawing nigh. I hear the old people y'all to say, it's closer now than when I first began. And I know that. I know that for a fact. It's closer now than when I first started. And now, so my redemption is drawing nigh. So we thank God for you. We pray God's blessing over your life, over your family, over your ministry, and that God continue to work through your life and with you. This is our prayer for you. God bless you. The line is open.
Thank you.
I see Brother Deacon is on there this morning. So,
God bless you, Apostle. And thank you
God
so much.
God bless you,
for
Apostle.
The work. Thank you so much. It really blessed my heart. Thank God for all of you that may be on the line today. Glory be to God. It wasn't by chance, just by chance. When we are on this line, it's because we, most of the time, we should be on the line. And I know this message has blessed me, and it brought to mind a lot as you prayed. So God bless you, and I pray God continue to keep you in that this vibe of always being there for God, hallelujah, and that he will continue to pour in and out of you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray God to freshen you for the next time when he will call you to come back and pray and to preach, because you did pray as well. You prayed for the sermon, and that is so wonderful. You know, while we're doing the sermon, we're praying for people. Bishop, mute your phone, please, because I'm not too far. And it's getting some. But anyway, I have, hold on. I'm here. My clock is going off every hour. It goes off. It's only gone. Hold on a second. Hold on, Apostle. The music plays every hour to let us know it's a new hour. But it's beautiful music. Okay, it's going off. Praise God. So I have a few comments. And you actually had... He did like me because we're so long-winded. You had at least three sermons. I know I usually have as many or more. But the word is the word. Amen. I want to speak on what you said about the gentleman in the church and the pastor or someone in the church. I believe it was a leader in the church. They talked about him and his wife, and the man was very distraught about it. And I experienced that, but it wasn't me that was talked about. It was someone else, and I know Bishop remembers. It was someone else that was talked about in the church about the person's situation and saying some things, you know, about that person that should not have been said, and the person was sitting in the church. And I had gone to... the leaders, well, one of the leaders, which was his mother, the pastor's mother, and I asked for help for this young woman who was struggling. She was about to be evicted from her home, and she didn't have much food. She was just going through through a storm. Like, you know, this was one of her storms. And she had some lack at the time. So anyway... So I went to one of the leaders, which was his mother, and she said, well, I'll see what Pastor has to say. So Pastor said that he wasn't going to help her because she probably wasn't a tither. So that just ruffled my feathers. That just kind of ruffled me up. And I was upset about it. And I was even more upset when he stood up there, because once he knew that this lady needed help and he knew who she was, he stood up at the pulpit and he talked about her. And that hurt me. And it wasn't even, it was about me because it was about her, but it wasn't to me. It wasn't, you know, coming to me for me. But it hurt me about what he said. And that lady was sitting right there. And I mean, this lady, I didn't know her personally, but to go back, because I skipped this part, to go back, I was sitting next to her and she began to bitterly weep. And I put my arms around her. And I didn't know what was going on, but I just gave her a shoulder to cry on. And I felt her pain at the time, even though I didn't know what the pain was, but I knew it was painful. And then after the service, we exchanged phone numbers, and I gave her a call. And I wanted to know, you know, if she wanted to share what was going on. I knew it was something really bad, and I sensed it was about family. Well, her son, she's a single woman. Help me, Jesus, here. I don't want to keep skipping around. She's a single woman, and she's got three children, and her oldest son became involved in some kind of criminal activity. She didn't tell me what it was, but he went to jail. Now, this young man had a job, and he was helping his mother take care of all of the things in the house while she worked to take care of her children and her home. Well, when he went to jail, that is what caused a big problem, because now she didn't have that extra money. So now she's faced with eviction and not much food. All of her other bills are due. You know how it can be. And some of us, I don't know who's on the line, maybe just Deacon, I don't know. Maybe Evangelist Sheila is on the line. But anyway, so that was the situation, and she shared. So I said to her, I'm going to do what I can do, but I will ask the pastor. I will go to the church, because I was closer to the leaders, because I was one of them in the church. I was a usher in the church, and I knew, I have known them for a while, had been in the ministry for a while, and so I thought, I'll go and speak for you. And so I did. And she said, you know, she said, thank you and everything. She said, I really do need some help. I said, I know you do. I've been there. I felt her pain because I had been where she is, where she was. So anyway, he talked about her on the pulpit, and that did it for me. And the reason why I'm saying this, I had no bitterness towards this pastor because personally, I did like him. I loved him. He was very friendly, you know, very personable. He was one that, not his wife now, his wife was a stuck-up bougie one. She was very bougie. And she was one that wouldn't even speak to you. She'd look you in the face and not say a word. But that was okay with me. But the pastor himself was friendly. And he was from an area where I grew up. James know who I'm talking about. And so anyway, I thought, well, let me go and ask, since I've been in the ministry for a while, let me go and see what we can do. I said, even if we come together to help this lady. So anyway, she calls me back. She didn't call me, the mother of the pastor didn't call me back for a couple of days, so I called her back. No, that's not true. Forgive me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. She did call me back, but it wasn't right away. And she said to me that the pastor was not going to help. The pastor said no. I said, well, okay. I said, okay, that was a little bit disturbing. But what he said in the service was even more disturbing, because he was talking about this young woman, and she knew he was talking about her. And I felt bad because I brought it to, I'm starting to feel bad because I even brought it to the church, and then they're going to turn her down. So I said, we'll do what we can do. So anyway, so I said to the mother of the pastor, I said, how about if we as ushers, the ushers, those who work in the church, how about if we get together, let's get all the ushers, because I was an usher at the time. I said, let's get the ushers together, and we can put together, because what she needed was quite a bit. And I didn't have all what she needed at the time, but willing to give what I could give. And she said, oh, no, pastor's not going to allow that. That's not how we do things. Well, my belief is that we're all one body. But she thought, I guess, that that would go over the pastor's head because he said no. But Jesus said yes. I know Jesus said yes because he comes to us. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble, apostle. And I knew what this young woman was going through. So, you know, you're feeling the pain of others just like you do when a Pastor Goodish call or someone calls and say they need help and the children are hungry or whatever, and Blog Talk Radio responds. We respond. We don't know everything Pastor Goodish is doing. All we know is that we know the spirit of this man. We know and trust the spirit of this man. Because if you didn't trust the spirit, if this man wasn't right like he should be in terms of the ministry, apostle, I don't believe you would be sending anything to put in his hands. I don't think you would, because you would probably feel like he wouldn't be doing the right thing, like some people have been cut off, and we know who they are, from this ministry because they have the wrong mindset. It's not the mindset of God. The mindset of Jesus is to come and help the poor, the sick, the hungry. It's what he did. And so I left that church. So this is part B, part A of what I'm talking about. I left the church. And I left the church because he didn't have the right spirit. Not because I'm going to stay mad with you. No, I'm not going to stay angry. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to be any of that. But I don't want to be under the leadership or to even be, call myself, be your friend when you have the wrong spirit. When you have that kind of spirit and you're supposed to be the leader and you behind the pulpit and you're supposed to be a leader of the church of God, an ambassador, supposed to be walking like God, talking like God, and being holy, being like God. I can't stay in a church like that. I won't stay. And if the man left the church, I would agree with it. Because if you could stand up there and talk about me and my wife, that means you could talk about everybody else in the church. That is a spirit that's not like God. And I don't want to be, now I'm going to pray for you. When I leave, I'm going to pray for you, and I'll continue to pray for the church as a whole. But I am not going to be under the leadership of the wrong spirit. That's not the right spirit. I mean, God let that man know the kind of spirit that was standing behind that pulpit. Now, he's given offerings and all of that to the church, but your offerings don't speak to your holiness or don't speak about your holiness. Not to say anything was wrong with the man and his wife, but you receive of the people in the church, you receive of the offerings and everything that the church give as a leader. But then instead of him just praying for the wife and the husband, and maybe he did, but was it with the right spirit, apostle? That's all I'm talking about. The wrong spirit. That spirit of that leader infiltrates throughout the whole congregation. And when you hear that kind of spirit in the church, I don't want to be any part of that. I don't even want to listen to anybody that's got a spirit other than Jesus, and they let you know it and they let you see it. Well, they let you see who they are, hear and see who, more so to see how they are, that they speak towards you in a derogatory way. I would say if you're in the presence, in those people present, not that, you know, it's supposed to make you angry. There's nothing wrong with being angry. Because God said,
not to sleep on your anger, but he didn't say not to get angry. Some people get it twisted that, well, what you getting so angry about? Well, if somebody's almost slapping you in the face and somebody is derogatory towards you, that don't feel good. Not that you have to respond to everything, but when it's a leader, another leader should be able to speak to another leader. Anybody that in the church should be able to understand, even if it's the pastor, Apostle Calendar, you're my leader, and I have a lot of respect. You're a leader in the church. I have a lot of respect for you. But if you do something to me or to my husband or to my family or you say something towards us that's really derogatory, which I know you won't, but if we do something we shouldn't be doing, you bring correction. But this man and his wife wasn't doing anything wrong towards the church. So it was unwarranted what he did. So I would come to, I would say, Apostle, you know, you and I have talked about a lot of things. And when I was not feeling good about something, I spoke it. Because otherwise, it's deceitful. It's really deceitful. If somebody is doing something and it's towards you or someone else, because I spoke how I felt to the mother. And I felt like this is not the way the church is supposed to be. Why are we so? It came to me as hostile when you speak like that against someone and then you speak it in the church for the whole congregation to hear. Not that everybody knew about it, but I knew about it. The mother knew about it, and I'm sure the leaders knew about it, because usually when anything has to be done, the leaders will talk about it. And they'll make a decision, and the pastor, the person of the church, the pastor, the leader, would make the final decision. Not to say I'm going to leave from there. But anyway, I feel like, me personally, this is me. Now, if it's something about the word and that need correction, if they're not teaching sound doctrine, that's another reason. That's a primary reason to leave. But when somebody stands up there and do that, or you know somebody has rejected you, and, I mean, even Jesus didn't stick around. He didn't. He continued to do what he came to do, and he did it with all authority. Then you talked about the authority. We move from here and go to authority. He took authority. He had all authority was given unto him by his father. And you mentioned about his father. Everything was about his father. He went to his father about everything, and he knew what he came to do. And we need to know what we're supposed to do, and we can know it through the word of God. Hallelujah. And so he, when they were in that boat, now I'm just going to go back a little bit. I'm just saying this is, you know, I'm not saying this about the lady, going back a little bit like I do sometimes. I just want to make one more point about the lady, about the people and what happened in that church. Even you, Apostle, have left the church where there wasn't the right spirit, where the pastor didn't want to receive correction.
That's right.
And we must all receive correction so that we can get the right direction to get where we need to go, so we can learn, so we can know. And how many churches have we left? Well, I know for me it's been quite a few, because, you know, you just get sick of it. You get sick of it because it's not like God. You know, people will come and preach, and they don't have the right spirit. And you know what? I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen. I don't care how good you preach. I don't care what it is you're preaching about, but if you got the wrong if you got the wrong attitude towards not just me but towards other people, you know, when you can't say thank you, Jesus, when you can't say hallelujah, when you can't give encouragement to your brothers and sisters, when you can't listen, I don't want nothing to do with that. That is not the right spirit. That's not how Jesus is. That's not what Jesus would do. okay? Jesus admonished. Jesus taught. Jesus poured his love out. And he didn't reject anybody. But when they rejected him and slapped him in the face, he kept doing what he had to do. So my point is this.
That's right.
Continue to do what the Lord says to do. Continue to live your life accordingly, according to the word of God. But you don't have to listen and be under the authority or under some leadership or listen to people who's preaching the gospel but got the wrong attitude. I'm not going to listen.
Right.
I'm not, because what's good for one is good for the other, because Jesus is one for all. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't hold no animosity.
Amen.
I don't hate nobody. I don't know if y'all could hear me because I was off speaker. But I don't hate anybody, but I'm not going to be under that kind of leadership. People talking about people having the wrong attitude. You wouldn't even be preaching in my church, in the church of God. The church, when I say my, because Jesus said, what is yours is mine. Amen? And that church, when that building get erected, and it will get erected if we have to have it built from the ground. When the Lord says it's time, amen? Other people might have said it been time, but God will give us the right time. Amen? And it's going to be soon. But anyway, what I'm saying is that nobody is going to come preach with the wrong. You might be saying the right words with the wrong spirit, with the wrong kind of spirit on it. And we are supposed to know people by their spirit. God said you would know them. Hallelujah. You know them by the spirit. Glory be to God. And when they don't have the right spirit towards the church, because I am this and I am above and I got my ego going, you know what? Your ego is not going to be with me because it got to go. I got to go because of your ego. I got to leave because of your ego, because your ego don't impress me. Your ring, your name tag, you being a prophetess or whatever the position, that doesn't impress me. What impresses me, are you of God? If you are of God and you got the right spirit and you want to do everything that God said to do and do it with love, compassion, and have a passion for the people, then I can be part of this. That's why I stay with Blog Talk, because of you, Apostle, and because of a few that come on, those we call our real family, that come on with the right attitude towards the people. Because you're not Mr. Big Stuff, and you're not Miss Big Stuff. Only Jesus got all the stuff. Hallelujah. He got it all, and he has all authority. And the next thing I want to speak to is that whenever there's trouble, you talked about Jesus in the boat, and they were worried, and Master, you know, you're not worried? I mean, the storm is going on. We are going to perish here. Sometimes you feel like you're going to perish. Sometimes you feel like this is it. This thing is going to destroy me. I'm saying sometimes we've been through some storms and be like, God, my God. Oh, God,
yes.
It's so bad and it's been so long, God. What, God, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And you know what you hear him say? I am here with you. You are not alone. Don't let your heart be troubled. See, when you have the Lord in your heart and when you follow in Jesus, hallelujah, 100%, when it gets so hot, when you get like to the boiling point, you're going to say, Lord, I thank you. You're going to hear him. And he's going to say, I am with you. You are not alone. I told you I would never abandon you. I am with you. And he's saying that today. You brought that up about them being in the boat and Jesus was down there sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So we are supposed to, the word is, don't you worry. Don't you fret. One day it's going to be over. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. After every storm, there's going to be a rainbow. My God. And so this is what we have to keep in our mind. You're going to have that rainbow. My God. Jesus promised it. He promised it. The Word of God promises it. And so we look toward Jesus and we say, well, thank you, God. You're going to hear him speak to you and give you that comfort. He's our help. I am your helper. I am your comforter. I am that I am, and I have all you need and all you desire. I will give you the desires of your heart, and you will hear God speaking all these sweet things to your spirit. My God, hallelujah. And so I had to speak to that. That was so good. But see, this is when we, then this is, you know what? We have faith because first we have to have faith to believe in God. We have to show him that we trust him. And so he allows these things to come. But that's when you really got to pull, excuse me, that's when you really got to pull on your faith. When your faith is there, it's going to get stronger. When you, every trial you go through, all the tribulation, the persecution, whatever it is, your faith is going to get stronger, and you're going to learn to trust God more and more because he's going to show up. He's going to show up no matter what. Even at times when we feel like, Lord, this is a bit much here. Oh, Lord, I need you to move, God. Oh, God, you said you wouldn't leave me. You wouldn't forsake me, God. It gets to the boiling point. It gets there. And no, anybody that denies it is a liar. My God, Jesus was crucified and every bit of suffering was put on him. Every sin was put in him. So on him. So what makes us think that we're not going to get to that? That we're not going to have to suffer? My God, suffering. Suffering is going to come when you get into that courtship with Jesus. When you begin to walk with him, the suffering. That's when you really hate it. The devil don't hate his own. He hates us. So when you talk about authority, and that's what you're talking about, which is another sermon. When you talk about authority. That's right. I'm getting back at you. The authority is another sermon.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And when we take our authority, in that boat, they should have been taking authority. I know Jesus is in this boat. I know he's with me. I ain't worried. I could go to sleep too.
That's
my
right.
God, I could kick my feet up. My God, I can kick my feet up and say hallelujah. Hallelujah in spite of what I'm going through. That's authority. That's authority he put on you. And I take authority over everything that has come my way that's not like God. Because in me, the power, that's where the authority is, in Jesus Christ. Jesus. Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I thank you that I know I got that authority in me. And I can come against whatever comes against me. But here's the thing. Even while you're saying that, God is working it out. He didn't already work. And even when saying that, even when you're saying that, you know deep down in your knower, you know that God has already taken care of that and that the storm will subside. Everything that's going on will subside, and God's getting you through. He's gotten you through already because he got you through on the cross. My God, he got you through, gave you the victory, gave you your freedom through the cross, on the cross, on the cross. And when he rose, that's where the victory is. And you are able to rise above everything. Rising above
hallelujah.
All adversity. Through the authority, the power, in the name of Jesus Christ. I take authority, my God, in the name of
Lord.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I take authority over it all. And I know you got to leave. Glory be to God. I know because I know my Savior. And so Jesus rebuked them. I'm in the boat with you. I'm in it with you. Hallelujah.
Right.
I have not left you. You'll never be alone. So he rebuked them. How long is it going to take for us to realize? How long is it going to take for us to know that Jesus is with us? We have the authority. We have the victory. We have the power that lives within us, the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. And we got to take authority over that flesh, take authority over everything around us that's not like God, and speak his word. Hallelujah. You're going to get through. You're going to get through it because God already ordained it. Hallelujah. He already provided for us to come out. He's provided everything for our house. He's provided everything for our finances. You mentioned the finance. Everything is provided for. I'll supply all your needs, you said. You spoke the word. I believe you did. I said, now, let me stop moving around. See, because the enemy wants us to move around. He wants us to start getting busy. He wants us to get on the phone with other people. He wants us to get on the computer, get on Facebook. Do all this while the word's going on. God is not pleased with that. He stopped me. Sit down. And I started taking my notes. Because at first, I wasn't taking any notes. But I got up. And I took the clothes off the machine, but I could hear my spirit, sit down. And I took the notes that was in my mind already that I had gathered in my heart, and I started writing. I went back to when I heard you say certain things I had remembered. While God had me sit down while I could still remember, I heard the words. But at first, when you started the sermon, I wasn't on the line. But God reminded me the line is on. I said, Bishop, turn your phone on. The line is on. You see, because he wants us to miss it, to miss it. But I'm here to say once again, I'm not going to listen to nobody who's got the wrong kind of spirit. I don't want that spirit. I don't want to connect with that spirit. You hear me? Because when we connect with the wrong spirit, that spirit can wear on you. That's right. You can't hang around those that don't have the same spirit. God said, come out from among them. And I tell you, when that church comes, I've already been told, Apostle, that there are going to be those that are going to come with the wrong spirit. Of course, we're going to have the wheat among the tares. Hallelujah.
That's right.
The tares going to be there. Hallelujah. The wolf in sheep clothing is going to be there. Pastor Millie was preaching a sermon the other night when you called me about the vine. She was praying, but she was preaching. She was preaching. And it was powerful. It was powerful. I couldn't put that down. I had to listen. I was already listening to the word of God when you called me about the other line. But anyway, about the
no, thing. That was the thing that... Apostle, that was what I call your boat was. I sent it to your page, and you can go on your page and listen to it. You know what they said was going to send to us, so I sent it to your page, to your phone, that you can put in the code and you can listen to it.
Yeah,
God, it was good.
Yeah,
you can still
go back and listen.
Oh.
Yeah, when it's on Zoom, you can go back and listen.
But.
Like I said, you know, there won't be anybody preaching behind on that altar.
That's right.
You got the wrong spirit. God's going to get them out of there. And then you got to bring that. So it's already been prophesied that there are, especially this woman, it's been prophesied to me more than one time, once by Apostle Millie and then by Prophetess Jeffrey Lee. She saw it, then Apostle Millie saw it. She said she was in the church, and so was Prophetess Jeffrey Lee. They saw this woman, and she said, I would be fond of this woman. But then this woman was going to, her spirit is going to be revealed. And when it's revealed, I'm going to let her know something. I'm going to let her know you got to go in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen. You know, in that this text that I really put the scripture on today was Philippians chapter 3. Pastor, phone drop out. Philippians chapter 3, her phone drop out. But it's
There's a verse that's in here that Paul blessed me with. And we start at verse 10, and we went to the end of the chapter. But the verse that really blessed me, that I wanted to pull up here in this text, this verse that Paul blessed me with, I don't know if people hear it, but Paul says in the chapter 3 of Philippians, he said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Paul is saying that we have to walk according to the instructions that we have received from the Lord.
Amen.
And he
that
says, now this is what you have to walk in. He said, and then if there's anything else that you even hoping for, he said, God will reveal it to you. You don't have to look nowhere for it. He'll reveal it. But then he went on, he said, brethren, be followers there together of me, and mark them that walk as you have us for an example. Listen to what he's saying. Paul said, now, everybody that's preaching is not preaching the same thing that we're preaching. He says, so when you hear them, pay attention to what they're saying, because you have us as an example of the truth, of the doctrine. So you'll know if you're preaching the truth or not preaching the truth. This is what Paul is saying here in this verse, verse 17. He said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, Pastor, I've told you. He said, I'm now telling you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. Now, Paul's saying, look, there's many that are preaching. Paul is, he's not biting his tongue. He said, I'm telling you, there's many that are preaching, but they are the enemy of the cross. They dress like it. They talk like it. They walk like it. But he says, in reality, they are the enemy. This is the scripture. I'm telling you something. This is Holy Ghost here.
I know.
Right? I'm telling you.
Hallelujah.
He said, they are the enemy of the cross. They're the enemy of the cross. It's right. This is not what I'm making up. It's right here in the text.
That's right.
God give me that there.
Sure
God
is.
Give me that there. Yeah, he said, look, and this what he says, they're the enemy of the cross of Christ. He said, whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly?
Right.
Isn't God talk? And he's talking about them? They are about lucre. Okay? He said,
that's
whose
right.
God is their belly? Whose glory is their shame?
Beat them out,
whose mind, listen what he says. Listen what he says. Whose mind is earthly things? You hear what I'm saying? This is the gospel here. Paul said, but you have to watch. You have to say, because they sound eloquent over the microphone, that don't mean
that's
they're
right.
of God.
Oh,
that don't mean they're of God. They can have 35,000 members. That don't mean they're of God. They can have four services there. That don't mean they're of God.
Right.
He said, that's why the Berean church in chapter 17 of Acts, the Berean church, they listened to the message. But the Bible said they searched the scriptures daily to see if it was of God. They searched the scriptures. They would line up the script. They would listen to the apostles. They said they believed the word, but they searched the scriptures. See, that's why we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to study the word of God.
Right.
Because people are
that's
only
right.
giving you a half, they're giving us a half truth. They sound good. And they've been preaching for 40, 50 years. They sound good. I don't have them here, but back in Virginia, we have CDs that if you heard a bishop, I ain't going to call his name because people will get mad. If you hear a bishop that have about 30,000 members now. That's three services. If you heard him preaching back in the early 70s, you wouldn't believe it's the same preacher that you're hearing right now. He was filled with the power, all about holiness. But now?
Know the word.
Yeah, full of the word. He got the word too. But he compromised the gospel. He compromised
that's
the gospel. For money.
That's right.
That's right.
How can you? Oh God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. How can you be a bishop or a servant of God, an ambassador of God, and you know that a man is bisexual, and you let him lay hands on you because he give you $1 million? Stumble, he's full of Holy Ghost.
My God. It's not the only one. They got another one the same way.
For $1 million? You'll sell your soul for $1 million?
$1 million. That's right.
For $1 million? You know what John says?
Him.
I read that scripture yesterday. John says, don't let no one cause you to lose your crown.
That's right.
That's what John says. In the book of Revelation,
why did he say that?
Because he knew that people are going to come and they're going to try you because you've got a mindset of lucre.
That's right.
You're after earthly stuff. And Paul said they're after their belly. They're concerned with their belly and they're after the stuff, earthly things. Paul said something right there. That's on my business card and my ministry card. That's my scripture that I use, Philippians 3:10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering. I got that there right there on my business card, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto death. Paul's desire was to know God. His desire, he said, look, I've had everything already. I've had women, I've had money, I've had food, I have stuff, jewelry. I need to know this man that died for me on the cross. I need to know this man that was willing to give his life for my life. This is what Paul says. I speak 13 different languages. He said, look, I need to know this man that was willing to go to the cross. He, a man that knew no sin but died, took my sins on his body.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Unto death, Bible said he was conformable unto death. That means he didn't fight.
Right.
He didn't fight it. He didn't fight it. He submitted to the death of the cross for my sins, your sins. Paul said, I need to know him. I need to know him. Paul said, it's not about stuff. Paul said, it's not about stuff.
Hallelujah.
It's about the assignment.
Not about stuff.
It's about the assignment.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
It's about the assignment. When you know the assignment, then you know the assignment and you go after the assignment, you're going to get what the assignment has for you. My only objective, Pastor, is to receive my crown. That's my only objective.
And that was
I want to have my crown. Yep. I want to get my crown and I want to get my robe.
Amen.
I want to get my robe.
He wanted the prize. That's right. Jesus, too. He was focused on what was to come, what he knew he had to do and what he was going to receive, which he had already received. He knew what was to come. Hallelujah. So he stayed focused on that. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, who is the gift of all. Hallelujah.
This sermon here, Apostle, is one of the strongest sermons that Paul preached, this particular sermon here. Paul is the man that in his life was a well-educated man.
Yes, he was.
Spoke many languages.
Yes.
But Paul said, look, not that I think that I have achieved or I have arrived. He said, but one thing I do know is that I get to encounter with Jesus. I forget all things that are behind me. All my past life, I put in the grave. I cover it up, and I put a gravestone by it, telling it that I overcome it.
Yes.
He said, but I haven't arrived yet.
My God.
I am pressing towards the mark of the price of the high calling. He said, I'm pressing. See, I'm pressing because I want to get that crown. I want to get that robe, Paul is saying. Paul said, I want to get that crown. I want to get that robe. So I'm pressing onward.
Yes,
I'm not looking backward. I'm not concerned with what no one said about me because they don't have the final say. I'm pressing towards the one who have the final say. This is what Paul is saying.
Yeah.
This blessed
Thank
me, man.
Jesus.
This is one of the first scriptures, God knowing, telling the truth. This is one of the first scriptures that I learned.
It blessed me too. It blessed me too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It blessed me too. And I wrote down, Jesus is saying, don't worry. Let not your heart trouble, no matter what has been said about
That's
you.
Right.
No matter what they've done to you, no matter what the trouble, just know that you are not alone. You will never walk alone. I will never abandon you, even for reject and abandon you. When I heard that scripture, I said, I hear you, Jesus. Don't you worry. Hallelujah. Don't you worry if you feel rejected or neglected or disrespected, all of that. I don't want you to be there. I don't want you to get there. It's all right if you, it's all right that you feel it, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. It's all
Move
right
on.
That you know that spirit is there. It's all right you know
Move
it's there,
on.
But don't stay there. You got to keep it moving. That's what Jesus said. Kick up the dust and keep it going. Keep it moving, like you just said. Keep it going. Stay within your assignment. Stay within you know what you're supposed to do, and the Lord is going to continue to walk with us. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Glory be to God. You see, that money, like you said, that money will make them lose their gospel mind.
That's right.
Because when your mind becomes sanctified, it's set apart from the world. But because they compromise, you done lost your sanctified mind. You done lost
That's
your
right.
gospel-given mind when you let money and stuff and people turn you around.
That's right.
And they
That's
go
right.
back to that life, going back. They don't understand. You gone back. Back to where you used to be. You gone back to Egypt. You gone back to that slavery. You become a slave to stuff. You become a slave to that money, that God of money. You become a slave to that. Your desire is not for God anymore. Your desire is for what the world can give. You done lost your gospel mind. You done compromised the word of God. Lost your sanctified mind. My God. Oh, God, don't let us lose it, God. Help us, Lord.
That's
Hallelujah.
Right. Hallelujah.
We're not supposed to make anything our God. God is our God. Jesus Christ is our Savior, our Redeemer, our great I am that I am.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Glory to your name, Jesus Christ.
You
Glory
know, when you were talking about, when I talked about Jesus in the boat. You know, common sense thing, when you develop the relationship with Christ that Paul developed, and we're developing it, it's getting stronger. But when you develop that relationship, you know that it doesn't matter what's coming against you, it cannot win.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at them disciples in the boat. And Pastor, this gonna bless you because he blessed me when you were sharing it back. You know, when I was talking about it, because it came up in my spirit. I wasn't looking in the Bible; it came up in my spirit. But when you was talking about it, when you were rehearsing it back to me, what came to my mind is that if the storm, Jesus, Pastor, this blessed me when you were talking, and I heard it. You didn't see it, but I heard it in the spirit. If the storm could have destroyed a boat where Jesus was in with the disciples, it would have destroyed a boat. They didn't get it. They didn't pick it up. They didn't get it. The storm was raging. The water was coming over the side, but it couldn't destroy the boat because Jesus,
Hallelujah.
The one that controlled the storm, the one that controlled the water, oh, my God, the one that controlled the wind was in the boat.
That's
you
right.
You see what I'm saying?
Hallelujah.
He was in the boat.
Hallelujah.
He couldn't destroy it. But they didn't realize that. So they became fearful. We got to know that God is in our boat. He's in our boat because the Bible tells us this
in
1 John 4.
You
got to
know it. You
see, the Bible says you are of God, little children. You are of God, little children, for great is he that's in you. You have overcome them. Them who? All the satanic forces. He's in your boat. He's in our boat. He's in us.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
But we don't see it. We don't see it.
He's in the boat. He's in the
and
storm.
And
we let all the
elements, all the elements that's coming around us, we let destroy. Somebody saying this, somebody's doing this, somebody acting this way. All those are elements.
Hallelujah.
And we let them destroy.
Hallelujah.
God is inside the boat. He's inside
Hallelujah.
The boat.
Hallelujah.
He tells you, if you doubt me, look at 1 John 4 and 4. It's right there. That's the boat. He said, but first thing, you must understand who you are. You are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. All the elements.
Hallelujah.
Satanic, whoever it is that's coming at you. He said, you have overcome them. Them all. He said, for greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. When you
Hallelujah.
Realize that, you realize you have the power living on the inside. We see it, but
God,
we don't operate
Father.
In it. God wants us to operate in it. He's in the boat. You can speak now. Now you know that he's in the boat. You don't have to wake him up. You can speak to the elements.
My.
You don't have to wake him up.
My God, hallelujah.
He just laying there.
Glory to God. Yeah, he's just laying there. And they thought he was sleeping. Jesus wasn't even sleeping.
My God.
He don't sleep.
Jesus.
He was resting.
Thank you, Lord.
And we got to learn to
rest in him.
While the storm is going on, while he's raging, while people coming against you, rest in Jesus. Jesus was resting
in
the
Lord.
Storm. Oh, my God, because he was God all by himself. And he said,
if
God be for you, who can be against you? What can be against me? Who can be against me? My Jesus is for me. Glory be to God. And nothing, absolutely not anything is going to destroy
me.
It might destroy the boat. Because guess what?
Jesus.
It destroyed that boat when Paul was going to Malta. It destroyed the boat, but it couldn't destroy those people that was in the boat.
My Lord, you better believe
that was
it.
With him. And he said, not one of y'all is going to lose your life. My
not
God,
one of y'all going to pass.
He's spoken and he took authority.
None, we should lose nothing.
That he had in
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ. Hallelujah.
That's
and
right.
The particles of the boat that was destroyed.
Jesus.
He let him float. My God. There was floating
Hallelujah.
On the wood that the boat was made of. Why? Because God was in control. My God, not
That's
the
right.
storm, not the water. None of that was in control but God. And they got to Malta, and that devil was so mad. He tried to kill Paul. The snake came up because he was mad.
Oh, God, I just heard that too, Papa. Holy Ghost is speaking, Papa, because I just heard that too. I heard that too. The devil wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied because he couldn't kill them. He couldn't kill them in the ocean. But now when they come on the land, he said, look, I'm going to bite the daylights out of him. I couldn't kill him on the water. I kill him on the land. And still couldn't do that to Paul. My God.
My God, hallelujah.
Jesus.
That's what I'm saying. You gonna bite, but you can't kill me. You might strike me, you can't destroy me, my God, because I
my
got the
Jesus.
Power of the Most High God living in
hallelujah.
Me. My God, hallelujah! And I'm not about to compromise it. I'm not about
hallelujah.
To go back. Hallelujah! Because He brought me to
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, glory, hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
God before you, who can be against you? We better remember that word.
Glory to God. Yes. Thank
and
you, Lord Jesus.
Said, they thought Paul was a ghost after the snake bit him, and he couldn't die. That poison in that snake could not kill him because he was
That's
supposed
right.
to die. And then people say, oh, my God. Oh, my, it's a ghost. He got to not be real. Gotta be a
That's right.
He
That's right.
Human.
Jesus.
He's living in the forest, and the snake come up out the fire. That snake came
That's
up
right.
out the fire. Because because they begin to build the fire. The people come out the water, and they're cold. You know how that water make you cold?
Yeah, yeah,
it might
have been
a cold night. I don't know. And they come out the water, and they start to make fire. They built the fire, and here comes the snake because he's mad. Woo, he's furious.
Yeah, couldn't get him. Couldn't get him.
But he couldn't.
Want
to
stop that gospel.
Neither one of them.
He wanted to stop that gospel from going forward.
One of y'all gonna lose y'all life. You know
that's
why?
Right.
Because Paul
that's
was
right.
on a mission. He was on a mission for God. Hallelujah. When God gives you the mission, he's going to get you through the mission. My God.
That's right.
He gives you what you're supposed to. He gives you everything you need to get through, to get to, and to do for.
Jesus.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, 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 yes.
This is what people need to hear. This is what people got to hear, this sermon.
Thank you, Jesus.
They got to hear this, the sermon God gave to you today. They got to hear this so they can live, so they will survive. No matter what, they're going to thrive.
Thank
they're going
you,
to survive.
Jesus.
Glory be to God. We're going to thrive on the word of God. We're going to thrive on what God said. We're going to live.
Mm.
And live.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Forever. Hallelujah. Forever. Thank you, God, for this sermon. Thank you, God, for our apostle who stays on the mission. Glory be to God. Strengthen him, God. Strengthen him, God, even the more, God. More to come. More to come. More to come. More to come. Hey, Jesus. There's so much more to come about. So much more to come for you. My God, for the ministry. My God, so much more. Hallelujah. God said, I'm giving you life. And life more abundantly.
Thank
the
you, Lord
abundance
Jesus.
Comes
Thank
now.
You. Thank you, Lord.
I give you life and more.
Thank you, Jesus.
And more while you're in this earth as well. But the most is when you get with Jesus, when you get to see him face to face. My God, that's the
Thank
most,
you, Lord.
The uttermost of what you're going to get. That's the pride.
Yes, Lord.
That we work towards, we live for,
yes,
we have
yes,
faith
yes,
for,
yes.
we have faith to know
Hallelujah,
we're gonna
Lord.
Make it. We're gonna make
yes,
it. And if I gotta
Jesus.
Die, Hallelujah! I'll never
yes,
die.
Yes, Lord.
Never.
Yes, Lord.
Glory
yes,
God.
Lord.
And he's okay too.
Going all the way, going all the way, all the way, all the
he
way,
said,
all the way.
He can't kill me. He can't kill us, Apostle. Only God
nope.
can take us. God give life and take life. Only
yes,
God
right.
can take us. The devil won't kill us. In the name of Jesus, keep on going, people of God. Keep on going. Don't stop. Hallelujah, because you're moving in power. You're walking in
yes,
power.
Yes, Lord,
you're walking,
Jesus.
You're walking on the water. Jesus. Hallelujah. You gotta
Hallelujah, go. Jesus.
You got to know. I ain't going to drown. I'm not going to sink.
Thank
I'm not
you, Apostle. Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to stay
Thank
my
you,
way.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
You can't drown you. You're not going to sink in the sand when your
Jesus.
House is built up on the rock. My God. You're
Jesus.
Not gonna you're only going to get better.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You're going to get better. It's going to get
Hallelujah,
greater.
Jesus.
The abundance is coming. The abundance like you've never seen before.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's coming our way, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're not suffering in vain, my God.
Thank you,
not
Lord,
in vain.
Jesus.
As long as you keep vanity out your life. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Keep it out.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're never going to stop
Thank you, Lord.
Vain. Your walk is not
Thank
vain.
You, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh,
Thank
glory
you, Jesus.
Oh, it makes me do a lap around the house, Apostle. Glory be to God.
My God. Hallelujah.
God.
Jesus.
Dang, my God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm. Oh, I can't even be still right now. Hallelujah. Glory to
bless
God.
Me,
Hallelujah.
Father. Bless me.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
He bless me.
Oh, I thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
He
Hallelujah.
Me. He bless me.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Oh, Ooh. He bless me, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. You bless us, Lord. You bless us every day, God. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Every
yes,
day
Lord
we
Jesus.
Bless. We wake up to new mercy. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's new every day. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Mm.
Every day is a new day. Every day is a blessed day. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Because
Jesus.
The day the Lord has made.
Jesus.
And we're glad. Hallelujah. Because he has put gladness, peace.
Oh, my yes, God.
Closest to God, and no devil in hell gonna take it. My God, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's here to stay.
Oh.
Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah.
Mama. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Apostle. I tell you, I heard, sit down.
Yes.
I don't want to miss it. Don't miss what God
yes.
has to say. Don't let nothing
yes.
distract you. When you hear the Lord say, be still and know I'm God. Be still and listen to me. God say, come to me and learn. Jesus said, come, hallelujah, have a sit down at the table. Hey,
yes, Lord.
Eat it up, chew it up, hallelujah, digest it, glory be to God, hallelujah, let it sink in. But we got to be still, we got to give God the glory and stop all of this foolishness. You can't sit down
enough,
you got to go. Like the other day, I said, Lord, I never slept through the whole word. That was the word for me. I don't sleep through the word. I listened, but I was so tired. My body was so tired. And I needed rest.
Tired. You
got to
get rest. You got to rest, yes.
Yeah. But rest in the word. Rest in God. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Because I do not want to go to sleep. I want to hear what you got to say. I did hear a little bit. But I wanted to be attentive to the word. We got to be attentive. We got to stop the sleep. And that's what the disciples did. My God, and Jesus rebuked them.
That's right.
He rebuked them. Now, let us know, I don't want you sleeping. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be praying, pray. You're supposed to be listening to my word, listen. And stop going everywhere else. When we want to look at the movies,
that's
we look
right.
at the whole movie. When we want to go to Facebook, or when we want to talk stuff on Twitter, we talk on Twitter. When we want to read a book, we read a book to the finish. Hallelujah. Well, if you want to finish in the Lord, we better listen to what he got to say, and we better do what he does. My God, if you want to make it, because if you don't, you ain't going to make it. You can preach.
Jesus.
You can preach. Hallelujah. You can preach from now until kingdom come, but we're not going to make it, and we ain't going to make it. I'm telling you, we're not going to make it if that spirit is not right. If our spirit is not right, you're not going
right.
to make it. My God.
That's the
you
truth.
Can't hate on people and think because you preaching a sermon and God is using you. The Bible said a gift comes without repentance.
That's
God's
right.
gift comes without repentance, you can still operate in that gift and have no anointing. My God, hallelujah.
No anointing. That's right.
Only God's going to give you the anointing, my God, that you can have the gift.
That's right.
You can have all the money with that gift. If you don't have the anointing, hallelujah, you get nothing from God.
That's right.
It's all your work, but you're not getting it. You're not going to make it to heaven. Not going to make it with the wrong. That's why I say it about that preacher. Look, you don't have the right mindset. Do you know Jesus, how much he loves us? And when somebody do that kind of stuff to people, don't you know God is going to chastise that? He's going to chastise
yes.
it. And you're not going to get where you think you're going because you got your money and your degree or whatever you got. You're not going. Your money could buy you some space in out of space somewhere. You know, they're preparing to go out of space to live. Hallelujah. They got their bunkers. That ain't going to save you. You got to have the
space. Ain't going to save you. That's right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bunkers can't save them. They take so.
Bunkers can't save them. Out of space
yeah.
can't save them. You could talk all you want. And they got architects designing. You know, they've already paid for space in outer space. God didn't say we were supposed to live in outer space. He gave us Earth.
Outer space can't save you. You can be in space and still die in space.
You think you can go high?
Outer space can't hide you from God.
They hide you from God. Hallelujah. Some of them think they're
God. You're closer to the source. You're closer to the source if you want to know the truth.
Yes, Lord.
You
hallelujah.
Know?
The more ignorant you are, the more,
stupid,
the more
man.
We do the things, the closer we get to hell. The more we do the things that's not of God, the closer we get to hell. And if you do what God said to do and how he said to do it, when he said to do it, why he said to do it, then we're going to make it where we want, where we really want to be. Because everybody wants that paradise. Some of them think they got it already, and they think that it's even more to come. Mm-hmm. More to come, but not for you. Not for you, not for those who got the wrong mindset. It ain't coming for you. Jesus gave his word. Now you got to receive it, and you got to do what he said. You compromise, go ahead. Compromise, lose your sanctified mind, and guess what? You're going to get nothing from God. Absolute. God said if you doubt him, doubters get nothing. When you reject Jesus and reject his word, you doubt. You doubt.
Yes.
And God said when you're double-minded, you get nothing. You can't be double-minded and go to heaven. No way. You ain't even got Jesus, and you down here preaching. You ain't got it.
My. Jesus.
You don't have Jesus. Jesus don't do that to his people. Jesus don't do no evil to us. He don't do no meanness to us. Yeah, he'll chastise you because he's God and because he chastises us so that we can get right and stay right. But God knows his people. He knows when we make mistakes and we repent for it. He knows. But when we love him and we still do the work and don't compromise, God didn't say we weren't going to make mistakes. He said, I know you dust.
That's right.
I don't know what you're made of. I made you. I made of it because I know you're pitiful. He used the word pitiful. He said, because I know you're pitiful, he's going to keep us because I know I'm going to have mercy on you. My mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Because I know you're pitiful. I made you. You ain't nothing but dust. I made you. He said, I remember you're nothing but dust. My God. But I have mercy on you. I pity you. You're pitiful. And without God, you can do nothing good.
Think nothing
of the kingdom without God.
Yes.
Because whatever
nothing
you're doing, you think it's right, but it's evil. They think evil is right, Apostle. They don't even know. They don't have none of the Savior. So I shy away from the uppity people, from the people who feel like they're above everybody. Look, I can't stand that spirit. I can't stand that spirit. It's not of God. Jesus himself walked among the people. He didn't go alone by himself until he wanted to be with the Father. But he walked among the people, among the sinners, the tax collectors. Needy, among the sinners. He came to heal. He came to save.
That's right.
How does it happen if you just want to be with the uppity? You just want to be with the ones that's just like you. No, you want to point them to Jesus so they can walk like him and be like him, and do like him. You want to point them to Jesus. My God, you can go to all your prayer lines. You could have the Zooms and the prayer lines and all of this. I can be on Facebook Live. Wow, I'm live on Facebook now. My God, but are you alive in Jesus?
Yes.
On Facebook. You ain't nothing but the dead.
Hallelujah.
Nothing but the dead. Yeah, your face looks good.
My Lord, Jesus.
Good, but you're driving good, but you're living is good, your shoes look nice. You always talk about the elevator. You can have the most expensive shoes, but you're nothing. You're nothing without Jesus. absolutely
the whitewashed tomb. It's the whitewashed tomb, Pastor.
They're dead.
That's right. Stinking on the inside. My God. Hallelujah.
You're rotten to the core. Ooh. And this is what we have to get. You better stop looking down on people. It's not a God. I don't care how much you know. You better treat people right. Number one,
yes,
you better obey God and do it just the way he said to do it. Amen. Even if you have zero to give, you better give yourself. You better give your whole mind to God. Not some. When you give your whole mind, then it infiltrates your heart. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Oh, my God, Jesus. Who would bless my soul with this message? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I wasn't going to sleep on this one. And I'm not going to sleep on no more in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We got to stay awake so we can hear. We'll lose our soul sleeping.
Yes. God is just awesome.
Nothing comes to us with dreams. My God, we'll lose our soul sleeping because we ain't listening to God.
Yep. Got to hear this thing. You got to get this word every day. Every day, Apostle.
That's right.
I know about me. I
got to
get it every day. Every day.
Even if I'm not on Black Talk, I'm still getting the word. Amen.
That's right.
I'm
That's
still
right. That's right.
The word because I'm going to be in the word. Even if I don't
That's
go to
right.
Black Talk, I'm still going to be in the word. While you're working, you're still in the word.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right.
You still on the you on the job, but you on the word. You still got the word in you. You're gonna be listening to the word. Hallelujah. You could be working
That's
right. on and listen to the word and just keep one in your ear. And you're gonna hear the
mm-hmm.
word. Let it get into your brain. My God. Because everything we listening to goes into our ears, into our mind. So that's why
that's right.
to the wrong is going in, and it's going to make you do the wrong stuff. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I remembered. God reminded me, get on Block Talk, get on the Word, get in church. And I sat down. I left them clothes alone. The clothes can wait.
I am glad that you came on, too, because when you came on, Sheila, she came on late. But she got the sermon. Because you brought
Amen.
Another sermon. So she got a
my
sermon.
God,
she fought off. She fought off. You said, I don't know who on the line. She just got on the line. And on, I said, mm-hmm. well, she didn't get the word. She didn't hear the word. But, my God, she got enough today. She got enough.
My God.
You know, that's what
Thank
responding
you.
Does. God brings
yes,
up, causes
does.
Us to regurgitate so much. We
mm-hmm.
regurgitate so much that whoever come on late, they get a lot more. You know, so that was good.
Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went on with Brother Deacon last night, and he prayed well last night and prayed for everybody and so on, exalting Mother Grant. But I gave him a word last night, drop a word on there last night, quick word, you know.
Amen.
And,
Amen.
And it was good.
Oh,
he's on the line now. Yeah, he's still on
well,
the line. His phone is on.
I did. We prayed. We were in prayer till after midnight the other night, and we were praying for his father, praying for the Church of God, just praying for everything. Apostle Millie and I were
yep.
praying, and And, you know, praying, we got to pray. We got to preach, but we got to
yep.
pray.
Yes,
praying.
Right.
Praying. Hallelujah. Preaching is good. And we got to know God for ourselves, but we got to pray. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Praying is so important. And Jesus
yeah, I prayed
go by
last night, too.
And be with his Father.
But the Lord,
yeah.
the Lord says, it's possible the Lord says, that we have to pray for preachers. We got to pray for the preachers.
Yes, God.
Because
Hallelujah.
The preachers, a lot of preachers are being distracted. They're being distracted
yes,
by the things of this world. And God said, I prayed for them last night. He says, I prayed today too. He said, got to pray for them because they're distracted. You know, the devil is using all the things of the world to distract them, you know. And that's what Jesus said, that many going to say they did this and did that in his name, but he just said, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. You know, so I have to pray for them that they'll be convicted. They'll be convicted in their hearts to truly turn their hearts to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's no point of preaching the gospel if your heart is somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? Your heart got to be in the gospel, with the gospel. Hallelujah. So, you all, let Bishop come and close us out. And let me know when day you all can come on so I know how I can make this by adjustments.
We'll come on Tuesday. Apostle, we'll come on Tuesday. I have 2 appointments tomorrow. One for and another one for I have to go to the doctor. I have to go away in Covington tomorrow. So I got 2 appointments, and it's spaced out. But there's one early, one late. But I'll be back. We'll come back unless Bishop want to do something tomorrow. Maybe the Lord may give him something, but he might. But anyway, he'll let you know if he does. Give him a topic or something while I'm going. But anyway, I have to go. I have to get that.
Yeah, but we got to. I got word. Bishop coming. He can come on and do the prayer of salvation. But I got word. I got things all ready for tomorrow. And any day that you all are not on, but I'm ready. I got stuff up.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
And I will do even Tuesday and Wednesday if you want me to. Because I have
that's fine.
Wednesday. I have nothing planned.
That's
I have
fine.
Nowhere to go on Wednesday, and I don't think Bishop has, but I'll let you know for sure. But I don't believe he do, but we will do what the Lord has called for us to do.
And yeah, if he could come on tomorrow do the prayer of salvation, that'd be great. Bishop, do the prayer of salvation. I got a word. I believe the Lord wants us to talk about faith tomorrow. We want to talk about understanding faith. Understanding faith. That's what we want to talk about tomorrow if the Lord. Understanding faith.
Understanding
faith. Yeah.
All right.
That's what the Lord wants us to talk about.
I can say some more. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, Apostle. That sounds wonderful. And I'll look up some scriptures and I'll be looking at faith scriptures, you know, just to kind of be in there with you, because I'm in there with you anyway. Never ever doubt it. I'm in there with you, Apostle. You my brother. But see, here's another thing. We gotta know who our family is.
That's right.
Know who
that's
our
right.
Family
that's
is.
Right. But I hear you too, Apostle. I hear you.
Amen.
I hear you.
That's it. Amen.
Don't shut nobody
I
else
hear
now.
You.
Don't shut nobody
that's
else.
Right.
But know who your family is, and that's who you stick with.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Those divine connections is your family. Hallelujah.
That's right.
God wants us to all. We're all His divine connections. Those that is with Jesus, that sit at the table with Him and eat of Him and drink of Him. That's His family. They're our family. We gotta know who they are. Amen. Because if you don't, you can
that's right.
Stuff. Big time. You could go for something that's not like God. Amen? Because they can sound real good, know the word from
that's
front
right.
to back. You got them that know it from Genesis to Revelation, but that don't mean they know Jesus. Hallelujah.
But you know what Paul says, Apostle? You're taking me back to the word again, Apostle. This is what
like
Paul
Jesus.
Says.
That's right. Go ahead.
He says, this is what Paul says. He said, for whose destruction... Whose God is their belly? See?
That's right. Amen.
Whose glory is their shame? You see?
Hallelujah.
That is in the word. So you preach the word. See? So, because the ones that are truly your family are not focused on, they're not focused on being paid. You know? They're focusing on doing kingdom work.
The family is focused on doing kingdom work. Go ahead, big brother. I think I heard Brother Deacon just now. Brother Deacon?
I think you heard Bishop.
Oh, I thought I heard Deacon. All right, go ahead and pray us out there. Go ahead and pray us out.
Amen.
And just close us out.
Yeah, he's right here.
Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless in the presence of his glory, to the only wise God.
Yeah.
To him be glory, honor, dominion, and power. God, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks again.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. All right. Thank you all. Thank you all for coming on and expounding on the word. We thank God. Ask God blessings upon your life. Ask God to anoint your hands that what you touch would prosper. And what you touch and sick will be healed. I pray, God, to, oh, God, touch your eyes, touch your ears. Oh, God, that God, the anointing will cover you like a, the anointing will cover you like a cloak, that wherever you go, people begin to see the glory of God upon your life. Oh, my God, I just see the Lord just take you, woman of God, even when you enter the doctor's office, the people will see the anointing. If you go to the grocery store, they go see that the anointing, the light of God is upon your life. And that's what I release. I release in the atmosphere to you and to your husband today. That's the word of God for you guys today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We love you so much, but I want you all to know that God loves you more. Have a blessed evening. I'll talk to you later.
God bless you.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
All right. I have my patients, and hopefully I can pick you up in the hospital. I put my earpiece in.
Yeah.
And hopefully I can
pick you up in the hospital.
Amen.
All will be well, Apostle. Yeah,
amen.
Everything you do in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus, and you do in Jesus. You receive in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory
to
God.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
So
all right. God bless you.
All right.
You and your family.
All right. God bless.
Amen.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.